Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. And if you have something to say and would like to be featured on the network, please visit speakuptalkradio.com for all of the details or contact us at pr@speakuptalkradio.com. Well, right now, I'd like to introduce you to author Karen Bell. Walking with Elephants was her first novel, although she is not new to writing. She was a theater critic and a celebrity interviewer for a weekly tabloid in Jacksonville, Florida, and earned a master's in mass communication from Oklahoma State University. For 15 years, Karen worked in corporate America as a technical editor, editor-writer, and experienced firsthand the politics and intrigue that goes with that territory, and the balancing act that comes with being a working mother. She says, "I salute all those mothers who are the glue that holds their families together while pursuing the 9-to-5 brass ring." Karen lives in Florida with her husband and their two furry kids. Their non-furry children are all grown up and live in Virginia, near D.C., Los Angeles, and Mainz, Germany. And she has three grandchildren, and we have lots to talk about today. So welcome to the network, Karen.
Thank you.
Well, I'm happy to have you here today. I love your distinction between your furry children and your non-furry children.
Well, you know, it happens as you age and you're what they call absentee, fatherless parents. I forgot the term right now.
Mm-hmm.
And these little furry girls that we have just stole our hearts. So,
are they dogs?
Girls are cats.
Cats. Well, then we're in good company because I have 11 furry friends.
Well, these girls, actually, the mother adopted us. We have a lake house that's pretty rural, and the mother was a feral cat and having several loads of kittens from time to time. And we remodeled that house and started using it once we moved back to Florida. And whenever we went there, she would come charging out of the woods to come see us. And finally, one day, I was down there with my daughter. My husband was at our other house, and she decided to have her litter right in the living room of that house. And I'm like, now what? Mm-hmm. So we brought the whole litter back to our beach house, and my daughter was in the back of the car crying because the mama kitty was in a crate and never had been in one and was stepping all over her kittens as she tried to frantically get out. So my daughter thought she was going to kill them all.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a rough ride.
Oh,
luckily, it was only an hour.
Wow.
So then we kept the mother and one of the babies. So we went from, we had cats when we lived in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. So we thought, well, now we don't have to worry about pets anymore. And then it became fun. Oh, we have a pet down at the lake. That's convenient. But now we have them full time, so.
Oh, I love that. I get that. We had the same situation where we live in a bit of a rural area, and we had this one mother cat who kept having kittens, and we could not catch her. I mean, just for 2 years, we just put traps out, tried to catch her, and she was so elusive that meantime she had 10 kids. And she kept having them right on our deck and bringing them to the garage. And so now we just have the whole crew. We have her and her 10 little children, so I've got
they come indoors?
I have a few indoors, and then we actually built a shed outside. We carpeted it and heated it and insulated it. So in the wintertime, they have that. And so in the summer and spring, they're out running around. But we feed them. We care for them. So I have 11
pretty
furry
cool.
friends. It is cool.
Well, they're going to, if they're not all fixed.
They are.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I learned my lesson.
Yeah.
Soon as they were old enough, we got them fixed. And then just by chance, we got the mother fixed. So I was like, yay, we're done.
Yeah, that's lucky.
Oh, we got that in common. All righty, let's get serious now. I'm going to jump in a little bit of a different way today. Your first book is titled Walking with Elephants, and your second is Sunspots. And it is your second book, Sunspots, that is your most personal and cathartic as it heralds back to your early life. Before we get into both of them, I'm interested to know why Sunspots was not your first book.
That's interesting. I guess I was hesitant to delve into those feelings and There are relatives that are still alive that were my first husband's family. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know how I would go, in what direction I would go with that. So I just waited until I was ready to tackle it. But, you know, the first book was also a personal story because I discovered a lot of things when I went to work as an older adult, had my kids and then went to work. And women in the workplace are just, I have to say, they're awful. They are terrible to each other. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of shocking to see the politics and the nastiness that goes on a daily basis. So, and I have to tell, I think I wrote this in some interview that I posted online. What was a defining moment for me doing that was, you know, like I said, I had my kids first. I was very lucky that I could be a stay-at-home mom when they were young. But one day I walked into the ladies' room, and there's a young woman who's pumping her breast, and I'm thinking, why? Why are you here? Mm-hmm. There's a baby out there crying for mommy, mm-hmm. and you're pumping your breast instead of being with your baby. That's, like, not right. Mm-hmm. Just to be here in this world of hate. You know, learning some new software is not as important as nurturing, is the way I felt. Mm-hmm. And it kind of, like, put this kernel of an idea into my head about our priorities in this world. You know, it's like, if you stay home and take care of your kids and drop out of the workforce for a while, you can't even put that on your resume. Your resume just has a blank. Mm-hmm. What did you do for 5 years, mm-hmm. you know? Well, I was raising my kids. Well, that has no value. Mm-hmm. You know, you weren't moving up the corporate ladder. So, you know, we have to figure out how to get our priorities straight in this world, because certain things are basic and important, and other things are extraneous. And we have to figure out how to maybe meld them together. So I just decided to, you know, use that as a vehicle to vent a little bit. You know, I wrote the book in the 90s. So, and I began to realize as I'm doing the Audible book now, because I'm rereading it, that not a whole lot has actually changed for women in the workforce mm-hmm. since the 90s. You know, they still are trying to get equal pay for equal work.
Right, right.
So, so that's what got me started on thinking about it and using kind of my personal experiences to, you know, lay the foundation of, you know, trying to do it all. Because at that time, when I went back to work, my kids were not that young anymore, but they still needed me. You know, they mm-hmm. still were in school. And that's a big juggling act.
It is.
But I was lucky. I worked very close to my home. So, and I had a kind of job that I could just slip out when needed. Mm-hmm. So my daughter would call me up and go like, Mom, I left my math book home, you know. So I could run home and get it. But I purposely did not pursue a job that maybe at a magazine in New York City. We lived in New Jersey. Because I knew I would be like more than an hour away. And if I'm needed, can't get home right away. So I was lucky in that sense mm-hmm. that I live close to home and work. I mean, I work close to home. So, yeah. So that's why I wrote that one first mm-hmm. because it was like very, I was still working
okay.
when I wrote that book.
Okay. And that's the book titled Walking with Elephants.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, I have interesting remarks on that because people are like, well, I could never figure out why she had that for the title, you know, and I didn't understand the graphic image on the cover, but, you know, the thing is that it's easily explained in the book that the woman is watching a show on TV, my main character, and the show is about elephants, and elephants are matriarchal. So my concept in the book is afterwards there's like an essay the main character writes that says, you know, why can't the first world become a matriarchal society? They've been patriarchal for so long, and it hasn't done us very well. We've had all these wars. What happens if we became a matriarchal society? What would our sports look like? Mm. You know, what would our office look like? Would there be, you know, women bringing their babies and nursing them in the office, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera? Mm. And the graphic on the cover is a woman who is nurturing the earth. So it was a very feminist kind of book with an interesting twist because it also pushed being a homemaker and raising your children. Mm-hmm. So feminists on all levels. We are women and we are strong and we can do it all, but within reason. We need to be there for our kids. You know, we just need to be there. We need to raise our kids. They need to have that loving touch of a mother. And but we also, as I came to find out, unhappily, is that you can't really start trying to have a career in your 30s. It's like when you're up against girls that have graduated from college or women that have started working right away, they keep moving up the ladder and you're just looked at as somebody that's there to, you know, for pin money or something, that you're not really career oriented.
Wow.
And that was a tough pill to swallow because I'm very competitive and I was probably smarter than a lot of the people that I wound up working for. Mm-hmm. So I don't know I still don't have the answer. I don't know how you have a successful career and be a successful nurturing mother.
I don't know either. And it might just be an answer that each person has to come up with for themselves. And I'm sure that as women read your book, they recognize themselves in certain instances.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and the other thing is, if you have a healthy child, you possibly can pursue a career. But what happens if you have a kid that has illnesses? You know, there's no way you're going to become partner in a law firm. I mean, somebody has to be taking the kid to the doctor or to the hospital or something like that. You just can't foresee certain problems that you can turn up if you're, you know, have the misfortune of having a child that doesn't mm-hmm. have good health.
No, it's definitely a juggling act. And I think it's even more important now that technology has kind of taken over everyone's brains. So I think it takes a little extra effort on a parent's part, especially a mother's part, to be there and make sure the child is present as well. I think it's a difficult time.
Yeah. I mean, there were simpler days. Mm-hmm. But, you know, my father started a business when I was in grade school. And my mother went to work with him and do the books and what have you. So I was a latchkey kid. So I grew up in a time period when all my friends had their mother home, you know, come home to milk and cookies and whatnot and a happy mother giving you a hug. And I came home to an empty house with my brother. And it was, I felt nostalgic for having, not having my mother there. I wanted my mother to be there when I got home, you know. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't incentivized to, like, have a giant career, but, you know, and then I just didn't have the smarts. I thought I was going to try to be a doctor like my brother, but, oh my God, organic chemistry killed me.
Put an end to that.
Yeah, I saved a lot more lives by not being a doctor.
There you go. That's a good way to look at it. But then you are an author, and so you're expressing yourself this way, and I think it was really important for that second novel called Sunspots. Tell us about that.
The reason the book is called Sunspots, because of the aurora borealis, is the character was conceived under the northern lights with her hippie parents, and they call her Aurora. And she, because of that magical moment of being conceived in that way, she has some special powers to see things that other people don't see and to have some time travel experiences. And so sunspots are what cause the aurora borealis, and that's why the book was called Sunspots.
Okay.
Even in my first book, I put kind of mystical elements in the book. When my first husband died, I started reading, you know, all these life after life books and trying to get a signal that life continues and that he was somewhere in heaven or in the ether and that we could connect. So I went to do a lot of strange things. I went to a trance channeler and, you know, it was not very fulfilling. I never came back with a definitive answer that, yeah, we really do continue somewhere. I never got that answer. I was waiting for it, but never. Even went somewhere once where somebody was an artist that said she would draw the person that she saw in this psychic connection that we were having. And she started talking about my father who had passed, and I thought, oh, okay, if she draws a picture of my father, then I know, this is it, you know. So we finish it, this discussion, and she's been drawing away, and she, out of the blue, had told me that there was this other spirit that was there that was related somehow to my second husband's family from upstate New York. And then she shows me this drawing, and it's this woman that I never even saw in my life.
No.
So I'm like, who is this? So I grabbed this drawing, and I run it home to my husband. And I said, look, this is who she drew. This is who came out in the drawing in the discussion. And he says to me, who's that? That's the ugliest person I've ever seen in my life. So I said, well, isn't it? Because I thought he'd be like, oh, Aunt Sarah.
Exactly.
You know? So then I bring this drawing down to my father-in-law, who is still alive in Florida, and I show it to him, and he's like, I don't know who that is. But a very weird thing happened. We had taken all their stuff when they moved from their house to assisted living, and I had a lot of old photos. And in my basement was sitting in a box was this framed photo of some ancient family member on my husband's side of the family. And I look at this photo and I'm like, oh, that's that woman. That's that woman that she drew. But at that point, I had ripped up the... Because I was so aggravated,
yes,
that nobody recognized who she was. I said, well, this is crap, you know, and I rip it up. I didn't have that validation that that woman was who she drew, but somehow I knew.
Mm-hmm.
I just knew inside that that was the woman that came through. So I've been on this quest of trying to see if life continues. So in Walking with Elephants, there is a woman that channels a spirit. And in Sunspot, she has some interactions with the ghost of her dead husband, though it's done in a way that you don't know whether she's really having it or she's wishing she's having it. So, and there was, there was a lot of unfinished business around his death, and I tried to make it more fictional than real, but there was some, you know, real issues there for me, and I dealt with it the best way that I could. But one of my son, who was the son of this first husband, would never read the book. He didn't want to read the book. Mm-hmm. My second son, his older brother read the book, and he didn't like some of the things that were in there. So it's like, even if you tell people you're extrapolating from reality, you're cycling out,
mm-hmm,
they think that you really believe that all this happened, you know, mm-hmm, to the extent that they remember. And so I took some heat from my family by writing that book. And, you know, I wasn't too happy about that because I wanted them to see that the book had a positive ending for me. But, you know, for them, even though they were adopted by my second husband, they still have that loss that will never go away.
Sure.
So,
yeah. Well, and everyone has that bit of a fantasy memory. You know, it's like people become bigger and better than they were once they're gone.
He died. He was 35, and my boys were 6 and 3.
Sure.
So
yeah.
They have the 3-year-old at the time has really no memory of a relationship. The older boy has a, you know, more of a worshiping kind of feeling,
yes,
of what his father was like. Oh. So. You know, so he never actually saw him as an adult to assess,
right,
you know, who he was and what he did.
Exactly.
But, you know, it was good for me because it was like a catharsis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it also, I thought, because I like stories with paranormal elements, so I thought, well, this is going to be the one that people are going to connect to because people like ghost stories and the like. But I just can't... I can't push myself into being visible in the world of literature. I am often a corner hole by myself. And those that have read the book, most of them, really, really were touched by the book and liked it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I can say is one at a time.
Right. Well, I mean, you have great reviews on that, and both books even won different awards.
Yeah, but it didn't translate into sales, you know. Mm-hmm. I had this hope that I could totally become this author that could save our family.
No, I understand. I think many authors feel, for the most part, I think you have to consider it initially that it's going to be a cathartic process for you. One of the books that I wrote was very personal as well, and I wrote it as a cathartic book for me, and it ended out, because it's kind of a self-help book, it ended out helping other people. And I think you just have to follow that journey and see where it takes you, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I just have to write what I write.
Yes.
So, you know, my son, who was an actor and he's written some scripts, you know, he says to me, well, why don't you write some, you know, real erotica and stuff that, you know, I can't do it. I just can't do it.
No.
I don't read it, so I can't write it.
No, you need to write what you know. And you have a third novel, When a Stranger Comes. It's a psychological
thriller.
Yeah,
now that one was a real departure as far as storyline.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it kind of moves into the realm of fantasy in a way. But the fun part of it was that my MC is a successful author. And I was playing around with how fun it would be to be a successful author. So I have her be a successful author, but she then becomes paranoid about losing her place in the literary world, and her subsequent work is not gathering the kind of buzz of her debut. And she makes, unbeknownst to her initially, she makes a pact with the devil. So that was kind of fun to have this devil character.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, here's a book that will appeal to people that like thrillers, people that read books. You know, I've read a few books of Stephen King. He puts non-reality into a real world, you know, and that's kind of what this is, where the people are not fantasy characters. They're real world people mm-hmm. dealing with the real world. But then in comes, you know, the devil, and the devil has certain attractions to him and wealth and what have you, and an ironclad book contract he gives her. So I thought it would be fun. And I'm still shopping it, and I'm not getting very successful at the responses to my queries. So mm-hmm. I'm going to wind up probably publishing it myself.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a great route to go. I mean, and I find it interesting that you're melding that real world character with a bit of metaphysical elements. That's kind of fun.
Yeah, well, whenever I stop and sit back and think, I try to bring in the awesomeness, the real sense of the word awesomeness, of being alive. Because what is this? What is this journey of being human? There are so many aspects to it that are unknown. And why are we here? And what is this earth that we're living on that has just the right ingredients so that life could form on it? I don't think we sit back and ever take... Bless the fact that we have this ability to think and see and use our five senses and go through life and feel love and whatever other emotions that we are brought to bear, and have it be this amazing experience. I just like to think of these spiritual concepts and the wisdom of the philosophers who've come before that always take a look at this human existence and try to make sense out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And once I leave the mundaneness of, you know, the life that I lead, you know, grocery store and clean the house or what have you, I like to immerse myself into that kind of thinking, mm-hmm. you know. So when I was living in more urban areas, I would try to, like, become parts of certain groups. Like in Austin, Texas, I belong to the Jungian Society mm-hmm. and things like that. But here in Florida, I haven't yet found anything that incites my interest. So, you know, I'll read things that appeal to me on that level. But I'm always trying to, you know, search for those answers of what is this all about,
right.
you know. And people usually find that stuff through their religion, but I'm not a very religious person, so I look for it in a spiritual kind of way, a nature kind of way.
Obviously, you have learned a lot about yourself as you write these books.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess you're right. Mm-hmm. I mean, I still struggle with a lot of things. I mean, I have an ego that is bruised by the fact that I'm not being successful at this as far as getting recognition, but I do feel successful in that I've completed something that I have felt I wanted to do, and that was be a writer. So when I first finished my first book, I was like, I can't believe I'm putting a period at the end of the sentence of the last sentence of my first book. Like, wow. I actually wrote a book. I wrote a book that has a beginning, a middle, and an end, mm-hmm. and several hundred pages.
Yeah.
How in the world did I do that? You know, how did I keep going? How did I not just have a paragraph or a page? How did I blow this out to be a full-fledged story like that? And then I did a second one. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then I did a third one. And now I have, you know, like a fourth one that I've started working on and a fifth one that I started and stopped and I probably will go back to. But I'm like, I really like writing. You know, I don't like the marketing. I don't like the pushing myself.
Mm-hmm.
I like sitting down and creating a sentence that's lyrical to me, that has a cadence that works, and a character that's relatable. Mm-hmm. And I usually write in the first person, so it's usually some form of me that's going through the trials and tribulations of my character. Mm-hmm. But this newest book that I've just started is going to be in the third person, so I wanted to expand and see how that works. But, you know, they say it's really first person, present tense, they tell you never
mm-hmm.
to do.
Right.
And that's what my first book was.
Interesting.
First person, present tense.
Well, I mean, I think it works in many instances and probably not for everyone. And as you're speaking, I'm just thinking, you really need to give yourself a lot of credit. There are so many people that I talk with that have books inside them, but fear that, oh, I'm not a writer, I can't do that. And for whatever reasons, they never get it done. And so just the fact that you have many times, I think is you know, worth it all.
Yeah, it's an accomplishment.
It is.
You know, in the big picture of life, it's a tiny little accomplishment, but it's something. You know, I thought I wanted to do something, and then I did it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there you go. It was done. And I feel it was done well. I mean, although I can't get myself out of the anonymity of my work, anybody who reads it likes it. So I know that it's good.
Yes.
I know that it's good.
Yep.
So I just have to hope that my kids are like, well, posthumously, you might get discovered. Like, wow. Well, then I'll have to make sure there really is life after death so I can at least enjoy it.
Exactly. Yeah. Who wants to be famous after the fact, right?
That's right.
Oh, my gosh. So as you're writing these books, do you have any, or what are your expectations from your readers?
Well, this recent book, I do beta readers, you know, just to make sure. And my daughter, my 35-year-old youngest daughter, is amazing. And she is, you know, a straight shooter. So I gave her the book, and she gave me some editing ideas that really, really helped tighten the story. And she said to me, this is the one, Mom. Send this not to agents, but to publishers. This is good. And when she said that to me, I believed her. Because mm-hmm. I thought, she never says stuff like that.
That's wild.
And so I thought, okay, here I go. This is the one. This is going to put me on the map. And then the others will follow suit. And so far, the response hasn't been anything like I was hoping it would be. So what can you do?
Well, you just keep at it. That's what you do.
Yeah. Yep. Like my son will say to me, maybe it'll be your next one, Mom. Keep at it.
There you go. When you hear stories of success and fame, it sounds like it happened overnight. But when you really delve into it, it's taken people years and years. So I guess we just have to be patient and put in our time.
Well, my son has a lot of wisdom. This is my youngest son. He says, You are famous, Mom. There's a lot of people who know who you are. You're famous in your own world of people and family, friends and family.
There you go.
You know.
Yes.
And the other thing he said is that you won the lottery of life. You know, when you think about the sperm and the egg and the odd chance of it becoming you, you have to sit back and think, wow.
Oh, yes.
How wonderful that I actually became me.
Mm.
I could have not been. And then what? You just have to be grateful for what you've been given.
I agree. And I think that's a great way to start to wrap this conversation up. We've talked about your books and what's coming up next. Is there anything that we missed that you would like to talk about today?
I can approach my life because I've done this writing that gets out emotions. Feeling good every day. I wake up with a peaceful, happy feeling to approach life. And I can't wait to start writing my next book because the writing process is so much fun for me.
Wow.
And I never write an outline of my book. I just write whatever comes to me. And that's the direction I go.
It's in there and it just needs to come out.
Yeah,
so there you go.
Yeah, it's totally. These characters, they come to me and from when I'm walking in the street, when I'm in the middle of a project, my characters tell me what they're doing next. I'll tell you this one quick thing.
Sure.
So when I was writing Walking with Elephants, one of my characters just changed the direction of her arc for me. And my main character goes to her house and is ringing her doorbell to tell her something that she was perturbed about that had happened to her. And the doorbell rings, and then her friend opens the door. And when I'm writing this, all of a sudden I see her friend, and her friend had been crying. And I thought, why is she crying? And the friend said, he broke up with me. Okay, so that was something I had not planned for. My character just came to life and told me what happened to her. And I'm like, son of a gun. That happens to writers sometimes.
I know. I find that out where these characters just have a life of their own and take off and tell you what to do. And you better pay attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. You are so awesome. I really think that you've given us a lot to think about today on many levels. And I want to make sure folks know where to find more about you and where they can purchase your books. So share any information you want with us.
Okay, well, my books are not sold in stores because when you use print-on-demand self-publishing on CreateSpace and Amazon, stores won't stock it. I did find one independent store in Gainesville, but so you can find my books on Amazon and on Smashwords and Barnes & Noble. I have a Twitter account, @KarenSueBell. And I have two Facebook pages for each book. So you can look up Walking with Elephants on Facebook or Sunspots on Facebook.
We've learned quite a bit from you. And so we'll send folks over to KarenSBell.com. And from there, they can find you in all other places. Well, what a pleasure to have you here today. Thank you for sharing you and your personal story and your books with us.
Thank you so much, Pat, and I hope that your charity helps a lot of people.